Ladies and gentlemen, trans and non-binary punks of all ages and denominations, welcome back to another episode of Not Just a Phase. Thanks for joining us here in our fourth season. If you're new here, let me get these plugs out of the way really quick. I'm tired of saying them, you're tired of hearing them, but we are online at notjustaphase.net. We're on Instagram and TikTok at Not Just a Phase Worldwide. We're on Twitter at NJAP Worldwide, and we have a Patreon with some video podcasts and bonus content if you want to help support the expansion of our podcast and Blogspot and all the other good content we continue to create for you. Shout out to our video editing team at Local Media, who are also the boys from Medulla Lunar. Make sure you check them out and give them a follow. Today, hot off a split with Finland emo violence band Letterbombs, we're talking with Gil Cerone, who literally just debuted their latest album called Consumer quite a few hours ago today. So it's some lightning fast speed and aggression, meeting melody in the wildest way possible. The new album is streaming everywhere. We're going to talk about that, where you can buy it. We're going to chat about Australia, how the album Consumers was written, and a bunch of other good stuff. So we're going to introduce the band and see how everyone's feeling today. How you guys doing today? Or I should say tomorrow, because you guys are in the future.
It's the future. It's the 12th already.
Yeah, doing good, man.
Wild.
It's midday here.
Sunny day in Melbourne for once.
Sunny winter's day. No, shit's good.
I just assumed it
What's
was always
cracking
sunny in
on
Australia.
your end? Misconception.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Right on.
Not in Melbourne,
Right
dude.
on.
Not in Melbourne.
Right. Yo, there's only three songs on Spotify right now. Is that because you're in the future and I'm not?
Yeah, correct.
Oh,
Yeah,
true.
no shit. They
What?
would have dropped it midnight on the dot for us. So,
Okay. There's a
I
few more
reckon you'll get
hours.
a what time is it for you? 11:30.
10:30.
Yeah, give it
10:30.
half an hour, it'll drop.
Yeah. All right. I was like, that's got to be why, right? Because I had to go to your band camp.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Hey, this is Gil Cerone from Melbourne, Australia. This song is Trauma Bonding from our new album. You're listening to Not Just a Phase.
Thank you.
Cool. So for people listening, you guys just want to do your name and what role you play in the band so people kind of know your voice.
Yeah, so my name's Jordan. I play drums.
I'm Darcy. I play guitar.
And I'm Josh, and I play bass.
So absent today, we also have Liam. Liam isn't here, who plays guitar, and also Michael, who's the vocalist. They're both not here, so it's just us three today.
Yeah, cool. So I'll ask you guys the same question I asked Blind Girls a few years ago. This has all been an elaborate ruse. How well do you know the Chats, and can you get them on my podcast?
I know the drummer, actually.
Oh, God, seriously?
Yeah. He's a really, really good skater. He's sponsored by, or he was sponsored by Vans and stuff. So I skated with him a few times. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay. So it wasn't rude of me to just assume one of you knew them. You actually do.
No. I mean, they're from Gold Coast or Queensland.
No, they're from the Sunny Coast. So I'm a Brizzy boy, initially, Brisbane. But my parents live Sunshine Coast. So they're just like, yeah, I don't know them, but they're just kind of like Sunny Coast, surf rap, skater kids.
That's awesome.
Like, if you know Sunshine Coast, they're like kind of the epitome of the fucking Sunshine Coast. And I mean that in an endearing way as well, not in a bad way.
Like fits the stereotype kind of deal?
Totally. Hell yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's funny as hell. So, to be honest, have you guys actually heard this podcast before? You kind of know what you're getting into or what?
Yeah. I've listened to maybe 5 or 6 eps, but I deliberately didn't listen until this one. So I wanted to feel fresh going in.
To truly raw dog it.
Yeah.
You guys didn't even have the questions list.
Got to keep it real. No, I listened to a fair few, actually, even in the lead up. Stupidly, I listened to the Drew Spezial one, the Circle Takes a Square guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, I don't know if I can talk that much about organic farming or anything. If ours is going to be that good or cultured, he was on one. He knew everything.
Yeah, you definitely don't have to. That was Elias hosting that one. He does like far dorkier intellectual talks than I ever could. But that was a great episode. I was listening to it. I said the same thing. I was like, what the fuck?
I learned so much, but yeah, it was nerdy as hell. And ours will not be like that. That's for sure.
I've been listening to a couple. What's old man? Yeah. Jeremy Boehm.
Oh, yeah.
I listened to a couple of his recently. Yeah. I've been going to the gym and just listening to like fucking podcasts. And
Nice.
I listened to a old mate from Page 99 and kind of like grew up listening to them, but had never really like listened to the guys talk before. And all of a sudden you realize they're just like, they're all kind of nerds, hey? They can just fucking talk. I feel like Americans can talk way more than Australians can.
Definitely.
Like, I feel like we have a bit more of a thing where it's like people don't like talking about themselves over here. I feel like Americans just like, they're way more eager to like get that shit out.
Yeah.
We're a bit more self-deprecating over here, I would say.
Yeah, this works for me because I hate talking about myself. So I just ask the band questions and then I pretend like I'm doing something elaborate when I just edit the fucking podcast. You know what I mean? But I was going to ask, like, what podcasts do you guys listen to in your free time, if any?
I don't listen to too many, to be honest. I'm probably the wrong person to ask, to be honest.
I listen to a stack. I got a big drive to work. So
nice.
We're all secret jocks in this band, so we all love AFL, like the Australian football sport code, which is it's an amazing sport, but it's really jockey. So I listen to AFL podcasts, a podcast for my AFL team, North Melbourne. It's like the shittest team ever. But also like a lot of politics and history ones, your pod, what else? Heaps.
I've been listening to I don't listen to a lot of podcasts either, but I've been listening to heaps of Grey Zone lately, which is just like geopolitics. That's fucking dope, but that's probably the main one that's probably the only one I've been listening to like weekly, I would say.
Right on. So what are you guys doing in your free time when you're not listening to jockey podcasts and writing good screamo?
You should say that you're a skater boy.
Yeah, I skate heaps. That's why I know that dude from the chats.
I presumed you
Actually
all
broke
skated
my
and
leg.
surfed. Just throwing that out there.
I think everyone in the band skated at one point, surely. I feel like every screamo band, every member of every screamo band skated at one point, surely.
Nah, my skating career lasted all of that fucking 3 weeks. No, it wasn't for me, man.
Yeah, I can't get the
Yeah,
board off the
no.
ground, so never for
Nah,
me.
dude, neither. Nah,
Yeah, can't,
shit with
literally
pain
can't even pop a
feels.
fucking ollie. It's so embarrassing. It's bad. Yeah.
But I guess I feel like the band's been taking up a lot of time lately, not in a bad way, but that's been like a big focus of anything outside of normal day job stuff. I build audio electronics in my spare time as kind of like a little side job,
You build them?
like guitar effects pedals and things like that.
That's fucking dorky. Not
That's great.
shitting on it.
That's
That's cool.
extremely
It's
extreme.
cool. I couldn't do it, but like I imagine there's quite a bit to that, like knowing how to
Yeah,
do
I
that,
think,
right?
yeah, definitely started organically as like a necessity, like joining the band or starting the band and wanting to do things in a kind of bespoke or interesting way. And then over the years, just gradually learning. So yeah, now I just do like one day a week, little bits and pieces here and there just for fun, which is really good. So that's sort of they're the main two things outside of work is our band and then the audio electronic things. Yeah.
His company is called Super High Tech. People love that shit. He's talking himself down.
I was gonna ask, I'd be like, plug it, don't be shy. That's
Yeah,
cool.
come on, man.
It's called Super High Tech, so it's pretty easy to find on Instagram or what have you. I'm not posting on there very much, just because I like to keep it relaxed, but
Right.
you can find it, and there's like some nice posts I put up.
Your own little
You've
pedal
modded a
studio.
couple of my pets.
Sorry, what was
What?
that?
Oh, I said of your own pedals and such. That's neato.
It's good. Yeah, I'm in a good relationship with it now.
He's built pedals for other bands too. Very nerdy
Ooh.
stuff.
What
Yeah.
bands? Yeah, let's whoa, 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 what
Come
bands?
on, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to list,
You ever
but
built diploids and pedals yet?
well, yeah, we have a good relationship. This is actually a good segue, but we have a good relationship with Underground Audio in Brisbane, who's run by Chris. It's run by Christopher Brownbill, who is a really great engineer, but he was also in and has been in a lot of bands over the years that are really incredible, including Idols and a recent band called Verity Whisper. And over the years, I've just sort of sent him bits and pieces, and he's asked me to build certain things. So anytime a band goes to Brisbane to record something, I'll usually see some footage of a band using something that I built for them. Which is really cool. So I think Diploid used a bunch of stuff for some of their LPs in the past. But I can't really list too many others, but that's sort of the main connect that I like to have, seeing Chris use those pedals with lots of different bands that come through.
That's very
Yeah.
cool. That's very
Yeah.
cool. Right on, right on. What about the rest of you guys? Just drinking and surfing?
Yeah, shit. Actually, today is like, this is pretty pathetic, but today is my first day of employment, which is interesting. So I'm just like a coffee guy in my spare time, kind of been
Coffee
doing that for
guy,
a
yeah.
while.
Caffeine.
Just like, yeah, brewing coffee for a living. So
But you're also into other bands.
yeah, I mean, I play in a couple other bands as well. So
Nice, nice.
yeah, mostly just coffee and music on my end, man. Like playing another band called Keratin. Then I played an indie band called Jazz Tiger. So like between like three fucking bands, that's taken a shitload of my
Jesus
time up.
Christ.
So
Jazz Tiger's a cool
yeah.
name. That's sweet.
Yeah, that's a funny one because people either dig it or it's like the worst fucking band name they've ever heard. There's no in
Most people.
between. Like
That's a
people
great
like it
name.
or they fucking hate it. I mean, even the drummer in that band like still despises it. He can't stand it. But
It's a sick
is
name. Fuck
it's
him.
it is what it is now. It's done. So
That's funny.
yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Cool, man. Cool shit. So like before we get into your album, obviously you guys are from Australia. No one could tell by the fucking accent. But where exactly where exactly are you guys from? And like what's your scene like? You got some like local bands that are you want to shout out or something like that? Or like is there a vibrant punk scene out where you're at or
Yeah, well, I mean, most of the band and the original lineup is from actually outer East Melbourne. So this place called the Hills, the Down Young Ranges. It's like rainforest kind of area, which is quite a while out of the city. But since then, most have migrated to the urban center. But yeah, and then Josh is from Queensland, as you mentioned before. The Melbourne scene is pretty good.
It's very good.
Very fucking good. Melbourne's like the arts and cultural capital of Australia, people seem to say. Oh, that's on tourist ads anyway. But yeah, so there's like a shitload of venues, gigs every day or every night, and just like 1,000 bands. As far as the punk scene, you know, there's always a steady flow of crust and power violence bands. Hardcore ebbs and flows, I would say, and Screamo does too. I feel like in Melbourne, we've come out of a lull of, you know, Screamo bands not being around. It was really just us and maybe a few others like World at a Glance and Parlour. But now all of a sudden there's been an explosion. And I feel like that's kind of representative of worldwide Screamo. There's like a lot of stuff coming out all of a sudden.
I was gonna agree. Yeah. Everywhere.
Yeah. But yeah, Melbourne scene is very... Yeah, vibrant, I would say. And
yeah.
As far as the Screamo scene, and you know, any parallel scene to that, it's quite inclusive and like really nice scene, like no dickheads at all, like really, really sweet people. Yeah. And every show is sick, to be honest. And they're getting better.
Yeah, it's been kind of upward trajectory the last year or so. I don't really play too many shitty shows anymore. I feel like there's a period where like you know, for every good show we play, there'd be like a couple that, I don't mean this in a bad way, but they, you know, a bit of a flop, like not heaps of people turning out. But
yeah.
This sort of seems to be like less and less a thing lately.
Yeah.
There's so much shit going on over here, though. Like there's so many like niches and cliques. Like there's a massive fucking post-punk scene over here, which is really fucking good. Big garage rock scene. There's like cool, like, weirdo hip hop and electronic music. Like, there's so much shit going on over here. Like, you can get lost in it if you really want to. Yeah, depends what you're into, honestly. But
yeah. Sure.
Yeah. I will say that not much gets overseas, though. Like, a lot of the music stays here.
I don't know that many Australian bands, like, at all. Not that I've done a deep dive by any means. But I'm always curious because, like you said, there's like power violence scene shit. Like I only know like shit. I don't know. Chad's Blind Girls. You guys like that's about it.
Yeah.
Salt Money too. But I mean,
makes sense.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're looking for it, like
yeah,
a pretty small percentage of bands are like getting overseas.
Yeah,
I mean, there's definitely like bands doing it.
I think recently Extortion toured in the US and. They're a band that we really like, and they're not just power violence. They're kind of like a hybrid of a few different hardcore kind of styles.
I do know that name, actually. They're sick. Yeah. I do know them. I didn't know
they've been around for a
long. Yeah. Dude, yeah. We played with them. We played with them like 2 months ago. It's the most fucking insane experience.
They just dropped some new shit recently, too. They just dropped some new shit, didn't they? Like a week ago or something? Yeah. Like, I feel like, yeah.
Yeah, maybe a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Or maybe a month ago, but...
Yeah, okay. It wasn't that long.
American bands. That was with fucking World Peace
and Cell Rot.
Cell Rot,
yeah.
American bands.
Yeah,
good bands
too. Pretty dope.
Yeah, we were definitely the least tough band on that lineup.
Yeah, we were.
A hard lineup. Sick.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about you guys.
Yeah.
Where's Consumers being released? Where can people get physicals of this album?
Yeah. So here in this. Yeah, here in Australia, so the Australian label that is putting it out is called Cremation. That's run by Mark from Blind Girls. Yes. So people that know Blind Girls at the moment, they're touring overseas in America. Mm-hmm. So we're handling all the distro for that at the moment, but definitely Cremation are the ones to hit up for Australian release. And then in the Northern Hemisphere, No Funeral and Tomb Tree are both really sing it there. So I think, yeah, depending on whichever is most convenient, I think Tomb Tree is more US side and No Funeral is more Canada. But that's the trilogy of labels that are helping us release this album.
It's a good three. It's a
Yeah.
good three.
It's a good three. It's a good three.
Yeah, all very funeral-based band, sorry, record labels as well.
Funeral-based bands. Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's all
There's a theme,
it's a running
yeah.
theme.
Holy shit.
So who did the artwork for the album? I know you guys said it was one of you, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's me. So, actually, before I started working in the day job I have now, I studied art at university for 3 or 4 years. And I guess over the years, I've just sort of kept my own little practice ticking away in the background. But I guess Gil's sort of been my little outlet for anything visually related to whatever. So anytime we have something coming up, I just have like a little database of bits and pieces. And I kind of think about more of the mood or more of the theme in terms of a feeling. And everything just sort of stems from that little database of things that I keep. And I kind of keep maintaining that. So I do all the merch and all the visuals and stuff. Anytime there's something that's coming up, I think about it for quite a while. Not in an intense way, but I just let it tick away. And then over time, I just sort of piece it together, try and do things ahead of time, and then make little changes here and there. I think what I realized from like the last EP was that it's good to sit with things for a little while rather than work up to the deadline and submit because, I feel like in the past I've sort of rushed things out and realized that they could have been a different way. So with this, I was quite conscious to do it gradually. I think I started doing the cover like a year ago, and then not just like working on it for a year straight, but just making little edits and changes and thinking about decisions that we've made and letting it all just inform in a natural way. So yeah, it's just my like little, it's my way to basically express that visual thing. And it also helps because like music is so related to an emotion or just like a personal feeling. So it's very easy for me to make those calls and feel confident in them. And also it's really good because everyone in the band just lets me do whatever. So I'll just do whatever I want and everyone says that's good. And I just do
Hey,
it.
no one's a tougher critic about their art than the actual artist, right? So that's always how it is, I find.
Yeah. So sometimes in the part, like we did a sh maybe the first show we did, people like I thought it was pretty. There's no way to know. Like, you probably won't be able to see it. It's very bad for a podcast medium. But I just did this design for our first ever shirt, and I thought this is pushing it pretty far. And then everyone wasn't really sure. And then that shirt became like a legendary thing for our band. Like. It's just this really obscure drawing of this rabbit with this repeating tunnel kind of motif. And it's, yeah, I don't know how to describe it. You'd have to look at a photo of it. Maybe we can somehow get that online. But
And the band name was backwards as well. It was upside down.
yeah, and I spelt the band name incorrectly as well. But
Own band name,
just,
brilliant.
yeah. I guess the concept was to make it seem like a bootleg because we were shy about making legitimate merchandise or something. But yeah, just that was a nice little thing to, I guess, make that creative risk or make it seem stupid and everyone responding to it. And yeah, that sort of like that set the tone for all the other merch to follow and gave me confidence to sort of do whatever I felt would be good.
That's cool. That's cool. For
Yeah.
Patreon subscribers, it's fucking free, and I'll chuck the photo onto the upload so you can take a look at
I'll give it to you.
the
Yeah,
logo
yeah.
he's talking about. Because I
Yeah.
haven't seen either. I'd like to see that. And this wasn't
Yeah, I'll
really
get it
on
off
my
you.
questions list, but I'm curious what kind of beer you guys are drinking because I am very jealous. I don't have any
Oh,
beers.
well, yeah, what you got? It's a bit inappropriate, but it's the last day
Why?
of holidays for me because I work as a like at a secondary school. But yeah, it's Friday midday.
That's totally fine,
Darcy's
dude.
on
This
his
is a
work break. Like Darcy's going back to work after this, so but
I won't snitch. It's cool. It's cool.
yeah, just this pale ale, Sail and Anchor. It was the cheapest six pack I could find, and it was 19 fucking dollars.
Good.
Because Australian, yeah, because I've lived in Canada before, so I know what your beer prices are like. And dude, it's fucked in Australia.
Well, yeah, like a fancy beer would be like $15 for a six pack, but like I drink like Pabst, which like is fucking trash, but it's like $10.95 for a six pack.
Yeah, dude.
I smashed the Pabst back in Vancouver for sure.
It's just like you couldn't find a $10 four pack over here anymore. It's like non-existent.
Yeah, this is $19 for like budget pale ale.
Fucking criminal. That's fucked. I'd be so pissed. Yeah,
taxes.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's terrible.
Brutal.
That is terrible. So, not beer related, but earlier you were talking, or you mentioned the Parasocial songs. One of you did. We skipped over it real quick, but I had a question there. So the Parasocial Relationships, there's part 2 and 3 on this album, and they're both so good. And in part 3, I believe, you guys actually slow down for a few seconds, which is like rare in what you guys what you guys are doing with your style. I'm just wondering if there's like, I mean, presumably there's a lyrical connection between these two songs. That's why it's part 2 and part 3.
So actually, not entirely sure if there's a lyrical connection. Similar to Darcy's art, we just let Michael, our singer, do whatever he wants. Like, we don't tell him what to do at all. He just has free rein to do whatever. So I'm not entirely sure if there's a lyrical connection. However,
I think there is. Oh. He's sort of like, I mean, I would say there is, but he's sort of like, I feel like I just got a copy of the 12-inch last night and listened to it for the first time this morning, and that's the first time I've read the lyrics.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, literally this morning. Like, yeah. I mean, it's not like he wouldn't share if we asked, but he sort of keeps it pretty, like, you know, tied to his chest as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's just sort of like, I mean, when we fucking practice, he'll have the PA so low that you can barely hear him. So it's like, often I don't really get a full scope of what he's doing until we've recorded. And that's just like, yeah, I mean, that's just Michael as a person, really, I would say. So as far as the connection, there is a connection, but I couldn't tell you what it is, honestly. Like,
fair enough.
Yeah.
He's a reserved man, I assume. Yeah. So have you guys been sitting on these tunes for a while then, or like, have you been sitting on them?
I started my drum tracking in late August last year. Some songs had been in the process of being written when Coronach was being recorded back in 2022.
Yeah.
So Trauma Bonding was getting written, and then Mutants as well.
And Another 19 as well.
Oh, Another 19. Actually, yeah, I wrote that song in COVID, actually, in 2020. So, yeah, that's crazy. However, Parasocial 3 was written, I think it was written within 3 weeks of
just
recording.
Before we recorded. So that would have been late last year.
Yeah.
Mid to late last year.
So despite the fact that that song is like long as fuck, we wrote it within, 3 weeks, like really, really fast. And I think that's the song I'm most proud of on the record, because just to go back to what you were asking before. So the Parasocial songs were meant to be, I mean, initially my plan was for those three songs to be back to back. So they all flowed into each other. And so it was meant to be like compositionally interconnected.
One masterpiece. I see.
You said it, not me.
Well, one grand piece, not masterpiece, whatever.
It was meant to, I guess that's the reason why we were comfortable having some parts slow down, and in Parasocial 2 we have the long drawn out section at the end, because we would never do that stuff, because like our music is quite like ADHD, like
fast.
Yeah, but because it was a three-part song, I felt that there was time for us to explore a certain section, give some breathing space, slow things down, speed things up. However, on the album, they were all broken up. But I actually like the sequence that it's broken up. I think it's actually a lot cooler. And that was Liam's idea.
It's a Really an idea. I like them as well, because like I said, it gives it's a lot more it's a lot of growth on those songs. Like even in the short amount of time you guys are slowing down, it's like you're doing all this crazy shit, right? It was cool to hear that, because like you said, your shit's normally so fucking ADHD, right?
Totally. I will say Parasocial One was the most punishing song we've ever recorded. Like,
For you at least, yeah.
for me, oh, dude, for everyone, it was
Yeah,
fucked.
truth. Yeah.
I was like, at the time of writing Parasocial One, we were actually like on an interstate kind of mini tour thing. And so I was writing it all on Guitar Pro without actually playing the guitar parts. And so I kind of wrote impossible parts because I'm the drummer, just to refresh people's memories. And so I just wrote these completely impossible guitar parts for Darcy and Liam. And it was just a fuck time. And I wrote impossible parts for myself. There's like a triplet blast thing at the end that was just like the biggest punish ever.
I don't think you could play that properly for at least a month.
Yeah, dude, I have to like Olympic train for that triplet blast. It's fucking gnarly.
Don't know how the fuck you keep your blast beats going so fucking long in general. Like,
Dude,
I don't normally listen to songs that
don't
long
know.
either. My attention span doesn't
I
last.
don't
Like,
know.
when I saw like 5 minute songs, I was like, oh, are you fucking kidding me? But like, I actually stayed interested
Right.
the whole time. Elias always trips me about that. Like, I can't. It's like over 3 minutes. I'm like, okay, settle down, guys. So full of
Yeah.
yourselves,
Oh shit. Nah,
but
fair enough.
it's a fine line, hey. Especially in this fucking genre. It's like,
yeah.
yeah, dude, you can go either way.
Yeah, we push it sometimes with the song lengths for sure.
Well, they I kept
I don't
interested
know,
the whole
man. I
time,
grew
so
up
it was
on
good.
I grew up on City of Caterpillars, so it's like,
Oh yeah.
you know,
True.
10 minute songs right there, so I can deal with it.
Yeah, long screamo songs is not a new thing by any means. It's just not usually my thing. So how was the recording process outside of that song? Everything else kind of went smoothly. Like, where'd you guys go?
Yeah, so we recorded Coronach, the previous EP, with Simon Mache, who in Melbourne, he plays in this band called Bitumen, who they're not really within our genre, but they're adjacent for sure.
It's good shit.
And I wanted to seek him out because I really liked the way their first recording sounded, which he did. So I think, yeah, just through knowing Bitumen and then finding out he was an engineer, I tracked him down to record Coronach. And he has been historically involved in a screamo scene in Tasmania in like the late 2000s. So it was such a good choice in the end because he understood that style of music and also brought, you know, like a lot of technical knowledge and fresh perspective into the recording process. So yeah, we definitely were super keen just to record with Simon again. He just moved to a new studio space, which is a lot bigger, so we were able to be a bit freer in terms of the guitar tracking and not just tracking in a shed this time. And the process was really similar. So, like Jordan mentioned earlier, we use Guitar Pro to write a lot of our songs, all these songs for the album at least. And we used all of those MIDI files to program BPMs and things. So it was all very interlinked with the technology just to make sure we weren't skipping details or missing anything, because some of the intricacies can get lost in the way that we record methodically like that. But the recording process was quite good this time, and it wasn't bad last time either. I think it went pretty smoothly. Like, we knew that there were a lot of difficult parts for us. It took quite a while to rehearse and feel like we were able to do some of the newer songs in a decent way. But we had a lot of momentum going into the recording sessions, and I think we were quite focused. So there weren't really too many hurdles. It was more when it came up to those difficult parts, just repetitive takes and working really hard to make sure we could actually do them. So we just spent like a day or 2 days each. For the string instruments, it was like a day or half a day, and the drums took a couple.
That's good.
And we did it broken up over the course of a month or so. Or there were gaps in between, but it was like a weekend here, weekend there, just building that way.
Yeah. Simon, the engineer, is just the biggest fucking legend. Like, he just knows, I guess, through recording Coronach with us, he knows like what support we need, because I guess with our music, especially some of the new songs, it's like on the edge of our abilities. Like, maybe like we're going like a bit past our ability. So he's like, he just like
He
helps, you
pushed
know,
it for this one,
us get
yeah.
down.
Okay.
So like we need a bit of help. And like, I mean, I did at the time. So he's good at like helping it become what we wanted it to be, and he's like quite intuitive with you know, what we're trying to put down. And yeah. Darcy had this cool novelty that is on the record that we've never used for the first time. It was a 12 string guitar,
Oh yeah.
like doing leads on that.
I think yeah, the seed was planted when we were recording Coronach because Simon mentioned a few times that there was a 12-string acoustic hanging around and he'd like to incorporate that in the Coronach recordings. And for whatever reason, that never eventuated, but having the 12-string idea, that sort of sat in my mind for a while and thinking about how that might sound on, I guess, our kind of music, it was very interesting because I guess I'd only ever really thought about guitar as a linear thing, like loud or quiet. So to have additional instrumentation in a way that wasn't changing the songs, but I guess added to it in a way that wasn't obvious was really intriguing for me. And it's worked out really well. I used it for most of the heavier parts in each song, so like a double track almost
It's
over the
almost got like
top.
a weird chorusy effect to it,
Yeah.
I reckon. It's cool.
Yeah, so and there's like a little additional octave there on the third string, so I guess you can hear it poke through in some parts, and other parts it's pretty subtle and you can't notice it too much. But we use that through a Music Man combo, which being in the room and hearing that loud volume was probably like the most punishing noise I've ever heard in my life. The 12 string through the Music Man cranked, it was just like ear-shatteringly shrill. But the way we incorporated into the songs, I was super happy with. Yeah, I think we'd like to keep doing that moving forward. And like, I was thinking about playing some shows just with the 12 string as well, but haven't worked up to that yet.
Oh,
Yeah.
quite the flex.
So,
Yeah.
I might need to release the fucking extended MIDI
Yeah.
edition of Consumer.
Yeah.
It's like so many fun, like the whole song just in Game Boy MIDI file.
Yeah,
Like
guaranteed.
it's fucking bizarre, but the whole record would be like
Yeah.
there'd be a version of that for sure.
Yo,
Yeah, so on the
I
Guitar
back
Pro,
that.
just
I back that so much. My buddy Fernando, he's in like three fucking bands, Refugia, Retratos, and oh, I'm sorry, Fernando, I forgot your other fucking band. But he writes, fucking
Yeah.
guy. He writes everything in Pro Tools too, and I've been telling him like to release his whole discography in just the MIDIs because they're fucking awesome.
Yeah,
It's like
sick.
Game Boy
Yeah,
like
out of the box
soundtrack on
grand.
crack because it's just nonstop. Like it's so good. Fast paced shit in
Yeah.
MIDI is so good. I love that. This
I'm
album
pretty
with Soundtrack
sure, yeah, it's
fucking
funny.
awesome. Yeah.
Dude, I'm pretty sure Discordant Axis have their MIDIs
Oh,
out.
that's right. I listened to that
It's like
actually.
their final compilation or something, and you can hear all their demos in MIDI on that. I think it's even on Spotify.
Yeah, no shit.
Discordant
I've
Axis,
heard.
yeah. Yeah.
It's fucked.
It's
That's
good.
sick. I'm checking that out
I'm checking
immediately.
that out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they exist.
Yeah. Shit, that makes me
Yeah.
miss like Nintendo Core. I know there was only like a
Yeah,
couple bands
what's the
doing
band?
that.
What's
I don't know if anyone.
the
I was like, does anyone do that anymore? I don't know.
band? Yeah. Oh,
It's
I don't know if
good.
it I don't know if it necessarily aged that well, but I don't
Yo,
know.
it wasn't good to begin with. It was just kind of funny and
No,
cool.
no, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked an Albatross. They were a really sick version of that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I remember them,
Yeah.
yeah.
They were good.
They have a
Yeah.
MIDI out? They have MIDIs out?
They would just use kind of like that synth organ over the top of like kind of screaming,
Oh, okay.
I guess it's of the era for sure, like sas core kind of vibe. It's
Nice.
good.
Nice.
Yeah, definitely of the
So,
era.
do you guys have like a favorite show or tour memory so far? You guys have been doing this since what, 2017?
Ooh,
I
that's right.
believe.
Yeah, this is
Yeah.
such a tricky question because all the shows kind of blend into one for me.
Good.
I think the when we this year when we played with Touche Amore and Blind Girls, that was a really good show because I think there were like 400 people there.
Yeah, I
Wow,
think
it
what a
was sold
lineup.
out at the venue.
What a
Yeah.
lineup.
Which was,
Wow.
I mean, that's a big thing for
Dude,
us,
yeah.
for
And
sure.
we played well. We didn't blow it, so that was good.
Essential.
There's been a couple of good ones
Yeah.
this year.
Yeah.
I mean, what about you
Nice.
guys? I really liked that Old Bar show we played this year. with
Right, yeah.
with Dream and Daisy Chain, and I thought that was pretty dope. So it's pretty rare. And it's not something I want to do all the time with gigs either, but there was a bit of like a, I guess it was like interstate screamo bands kind of came down to Melbourne for a gig, and there was maybe like seven bands on that lineup. And it's pretty rare for a show down here to be like all screamo bands. And I think that could be a bit tiring sometimes, but if you're not doing it too often, it's cool. It's fun. And I feel like the vibe was pretty fucking gnarly for that show. I think it's pretty rare you have like a 6 or 7 bill lineup and everybody's like fucking attentive to every single band on the lineup. I feel like there's a lot of gigs where like, yeah, I'll watch two bands and then I'm fucking chain smoking out the back for the rest of that. You know, that's just shows in general. But
I was gonna say, yeah.
This was like just a very like, just felt like everyone was there for the right reasons, and it was, yeah. I don't know if that happens. Maybe it happens more in America because there's more, just a bigger scene in general. But over here, it's probably a bit more of a novelty for us to play a show like that.
Dude, and we got encored that night. We did not encore. It was fucked.
Was your encore a 6-minute song?
Yeah. We should have done the full trilogy. No gaps.
15 minutes later.
Do they flow together as one piece if you do 1, 2, 3? If you do all parts, do they have a nice flow to it?
They make sense. We could have recorded them in a way where they could be end to end, but we didn't do that.
Yeah.
But I think like musically they do flow. Yeah.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah. I'm gonna line all three of them up and see how that goes. Just for shits and giggles.
I mean, they're all
shits
based and giggles now.
Yeah. Let us know.
I think it's all based around very similar chords and melodies.
Yeah, all the chords are the same, so it should flow okay. But it's meant to be like the dynamics are meant to flow together well. But yeah, hopefully, I don't know if we're ever bold enough to play it back to back to back. Bit of a punish.
No break.
To
don't worry.
Yeah. For the audience, I reckon.
Fucking 15-minute song, like.
What was so your
what's
favorite
the worst?
Show?
What's been the worst? Oh, we missed you. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I didn't have an answer for that prepared. I mean, a combination of both.
Brisbane always goes pretty well for us too.
Yeah, I think we have a really good relationship with bands in the scene in Brisbane. And anytime we go up there, it's really memorable and fun. It feels sort of like a second home. And I guess Josh is obviously from there as well. So, those shows are always really special, especially because there are bands that are up there that aren't always touring that we get to play with. Bands like Hanoi Traffic or Verity Whisper, Salt Money, Blind Guardians, of course, Dream Inertia. We have like a very good partnership with that city. So anytime we go up there, that's always super memorable for me. Yeah.
The worst memory, worst show, worst thing to happen on stage or car breakdown on tour. These ones are always good.
We don't have too many technical issues. I've got one, but this is a bit savage.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Okay. Oh, fuck yeah, let's go.
Dude, so before Josh joined the band in like 2021, we had our old bassist Louis, who is like the biggest legend ever. Like I love that guy. And he comes to shows and we all are really good mates with him. But towards the end of his tenure in the band, he just stopped coming to gigs.
No, that's so lousy.
Yeah, and so like, were you messaging him like, oh fuck, like, yeah, cool, see you at the show, like, I think we're on at like 9, like, catch you then, just like no reply. Then like it's half an hour before the show, I'm like, oh, like, dude, we're about to go on, like, what the fuck's happening? And so Darcy had to dual cab it, so that was pretty fucking gnarly.
I think there was logistical issues associated with that. I think
we'd
agreed to it and he was living at the Snow.
Oh yeah.
And it was like a late notice thing that he couldn't make it back. So we have like, it's documented as well. It's on our, there's a person in Melbourne that films a lot of shows called King Bean. He's a legend. He films thousands and thousands of shows or has a crew that does. And that's our King Bean video, is us playing without any bass. And Josh is in the crowd.
I think there's a video of Upstairs Toad.
Yeah,
actually.
That's the show. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's the night where I was just like, boy, I'll fucking play in your band.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I think he was, yeah, he was stuck at the snow that time for sure. But yeah, like Jordan said, like, we love Louis, and I think he realized that he just couldn't commit to the band anymore. So it was just like a natural transition.
No bad blood. He's like he's a fucking legend. Yeah. Do you guys have a bad show?
I guess the shows where no one comes are bad. There's been a couple. Like, we played a show.
Gong.
Pinnacle.
Yeah, those two. So there was one where we supported a really good band from Melbourne called Class Trader. Anyone listening should check them out. They're a really interesting hybrid, kind of sludge, heavy. They're like a really good hybrid of a lot of different genres. But they invited us on a tour just to New South Wales. And that was our first kind of supporting thing that we've ever done. And so we drove up there. It took like 8 or 9 hours to get to Wollongong, or a town outside of Wollongong, which is at a really cool venue called the Servo, which is a converted petrol station. And I think only like two people came who went in bands. So it was like the shows after that made up for it. Like, we played in Sydney the following night and Canberra as well. But it was just a bit of an anticlimax. And we're all super excited, and we felt kind of guilty, like we didn't draw more people to support the show. So that one, I think everyone said we sounded good, and I think the people from Class Trader said that was like the best we sounded at any of those shows. But the only people that were there were like people from other bands. So that was a big anticlimax to have the nine-hour drive to two like payers. So
all three of those people were psyched. It was still fun.
And it was amazing to see Class Trader three nights in a row. That band is so good. I feel like they're really underrated. And amazing, we're super grateful to be asked. Them out. They're great. They're good.
Super underrated, actually.
And then, the Pinnacle. I'll explain what happened to the Pinnacle. So, we were also supporting this really sick Melbourne band called Krull. It's like kind of post-punk, hardcore Krull? Kind of shit.
Krull?
Krull, K-R-U-L.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're fucking legends. They're playing our album launch, actually. But we were so excited to play with them because we think they're like the best band ever. And so we were playing this random venue. And this dude before us, Fuzzsucker. This dude called Fuzzsucker. Yeah, he's like, I don't know how you describe him. He's like a crazy, like eccentric one-man band. And so like...
Does he do like noise he was or about
to... Yeah, yeah.
Well, normally that's his vibe. He does like a bit of a noise set, fucks around with pedals.
And... Yeah.
But
He walked into the venue and he sees that there's a piano on stage and he like just drops his shit and he's like, I'm doing this. This is my set. And so... He was playing before us. He had like your standard half an hour slot. And he just went hard improv on this piano.
Like classical piano set.
Super dramatic, just like fucking around. But if anyone made any noise, he'd stop and death stare him.
What?
And then he'd... that's fucked. Then he'd ease back into it. And so if anyone made any noise or chatted during his set, he'd death stare him. And so this went on for an hour to where I think one of the bartenders had to like physically try to like kick him off stage.
Yeah, daddy.
I reckon he was fucking hardcore trolling though.
He was trolling hard, dude. And that was a fuck show because I think we had to play for like 15 minutes. Krull had to play for 10 minutes. There was fucking no one there. He went so far out of his way to alienate the crowd. It was bold as hell.
You got to respect it.
I respect it. A strange guy.
No.
In a city of strange people.
I do not fuck with noise projects. If I see anyone setting up with a pedal board and a microphone, it's one dude. I'm like, fuck yeah, I get to go smoke. Fuck that. That's not my thing. That's not my thing.
I quietly agree.
Yeah. Right. So what band haven't you guys played with that you'd really want to share the stage with? You got like one band. Like shit, you guys don't get a lot of bands over there, do you? No, it could be unrealistic.
Unrealistic.
I feel like we've played with every other Scrams band in Australia.
Isn't there only like three of you?
Yeah.
There's actually like 20.
Really?
There is like a new crop of younger people. Yeah. I mean, this makes us sound old. as hell, but yeah, there's sort of like a new wave coming through.
Yeah, I'm 33, guys. It's cool. I get it.
So I guess there's a new wave of bands that we haven't played with all of them.
True.
But it's interesting because they're kind of like a bit of not separate, but like we haven't really enmeshed with them because we've sort of with the other scenes. And in terms of like any band to play with.
Yeah, no, it'd probably just be one of the old gen bands we grew up with.
Oh, bands that don't exist.
I've already sort of played with some of my older bands. I kind of played with a lot of the bands I wanted to play with that were coming through. We had this really good period in maybe around like 07, 08, 09, just showing my age as well. like some of my old bands played with like Envy, Rain, The Queer, Daniel Strap Tiger, Ampere, Off Minor.
Dude.
Like, I feel like I kind of played with the bands that I kind of grew up on.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Do you guys get a decent amount of bands through there? I was under the impression that not a lot of bands.
There was a period in time.
Okay. Yeah. Not so much like anymore then?
10, 15 years ago, there was like a pretty big time in.
Yeah.
There was a lot of shit happening over here. Mm. And there was a couple of labels that were bringing a lot of bands over.
That's dope.
I feel like Australia kind of goes in waves every like 3 or 4 years, but it's sort of always been around.
Yeah, I feel like at the moment there's maybe like a show every couple of months with a bigger international heavy band, not necessarily screamo, but a lot of like death metal bands or that kind of, I guess any band that is like, for example, like Full of Hell and Now will be here next month. So those kind of bands will come here maybe like once every couple of years. And I guess there's enough that it's like, there's always one to look forward to.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
If I were to pick one band though, totally unrealistic, I'd say Growlithe.
Growlithe. Yeah, no shit.
Growlithe. I don't think I know that.
Oh, it's like a technical black metal band, but I just like worship
That's
them.
Why I don't know it. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
I'm New York, I think.
Yeah, the closest I get to black metal is you guys, then like Infant Island, maybe. That's the closest I get to black metal.
I was sort of thinking like as a realistic tour of a band that could come over here from the States. Betrayal of Guilt.
Oh yeah, I knew you were gonna say
I would love to tour with Betrayal of Guilt. Yeah, I really think they're doing something with like that one day, like pushing that Page 99 Majority Rule into like some blackened hardcore elements.
Yeah.
But I think they're like pushing that sound for like
sort of like I love what they're doing.
Current copper bands. So I really vibe that shit. So I would love to tour with them if I could like pick anyone of that sort of our genre.
Realistic.
That would make sense because they got a fucking evil tone to them like you guys as well. Like I think that could blend really well.
Yeah.
So, some of that shit's so evil.
Yeah, they're very evil.
Yeah, like, really.
It's a Christ.
There's no other way to say it. Like, it's fucking evil. Hasn't done a reunion that you guys are waiting on because everyone's done a fucking reunion. Doesn't have to be screamo either. You got one already. What?
A couple of weird ones popping up where you're like, did you really need to do that? There's some good ones too, for sure.
Right?
If I'll go first, I reckon. Ampere for sure.
Excellent.
Because I missed
choice.
Them. I was
Oh, you
just
missed
too
him.
young.
I saw him. So, yeah.
Fuck it.
They've already done it, but I didn't get to see Portraits of Past, and that might be my that might have been my pinnacle for like shit I grew up with, but it's already happened, so I missed the boat on that.
Yeah, that'd be amazing too. Maybe Funeral Diner.
This one is hyper localized, but the two bands in Australia that like sort of got me into the genre, who obviously aren't around because that was like more than 10 years ago. There was a band called Eucalypt and a band called Love Like Electrocution. And in like my musical history, they had just like this huge impact on my brain. I was in the window as well. Like I was 16, 17. So like in that window of impressionability. But if they were to reunite, that would be incredible. But it's always a thing like with a reunited band, it's like, it's never really going to be the same as when you're 16 years old seeing someone play in a house. But I'd love to be able to, I never get to see Love Like. I saw Eucalypt once or twice, but just be able to see that music played live would be incredible. Just because I listened to it just for infinite hours as a kid. Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying, though. There are some bands that should absolutely not do a fucking reunion. Does not need to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm not saying any names. I feel like if there's enough interest for any band to get back together, like, why not, you know?
I mean, also,
there's fans that like it.
Who the fuck am I to say? Like, you know,
right.
Like, if
oh,
it's
I'll
making
shit
people
on
happy.
Bands. I don't...
Yeah. I mean,
I say the same thing, too. I'm
on
like, why? Who's? What's my
so.
Opinion matter? My opinion doesn't
yeah,
matter.
Totally. But, like, at the end of the day, I was having a conversation with someone recently, and they were like, why the fuck would I want to see, like, these 47-year-old dudes, like I don't know, man, because it fucking makes them fucking happy to be part of their life. Like, you know, like, who am I to say what makes people happy? Like, it's like, if you're having fun, fucking do it.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to music,
so yeah,
like, no one wants to stop playing. You think you're not going to want to play when you're
right,
47?
Like,
of course you will. You know what I mean? Like, it's what musicians do, right?
If there's interest there and, like, I still enjoy it, like, I would fucking do it. Course.
I feel like the band that did it really well like recently is Jerome Stream, because their new album is like, I mean, everyone knows it's a good album, but like it's such a nice extension of their music, and it's quite inventive in terms of like their history, and to be able to reunite and play those old songs with such intensity and then have this new batch of songs that are equally as intense but in a different way, I think is really admirable.
I agree.
So if I was to ever be in a reunite situation, I mean, that's the ideal scenario. Like, I think they did it perfectly.
And without knowing the characters, they still seem like they're very, very passionate about it.
Yeah, for sure. You know? Yeah.
Absolutely.
We're hoping they'll come here soon.
Yeah. If you guys are listening, Eric,
yeah,
go over to Australia.
JD. Yeah. We'll play with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Shit, what did I got left? Oh, I just got the stupid questions left. Nice. I got the stupid questions left. I don't know. You guys said you've heard the podcast maybe a couple episodes. One of my favorite questions I like asking, and I'm sure you Daryls might have a good answer for this one. Daryl means degenerate, by the way, for those of you who don't understand Aussie slang. What's the most illegal or dangerous thing you've ever done in your life that you're willing to put on a very public podcast? Keep that in mind.
Oh, I forgot about this question. Fuck. Probably something skate related, like breaking into somewhere to skate somewhere that's definitely very not allowed.
Illegal or dangerous?
Yeah. A little trespassing.
I'm pretty safe.
What's
I'm a
that?
Pretty safe person. I'm a safe person in general. I don't know if I'm like a... edgy enough to have a good answer to
nice
this.
Law-abiding citizen.
Yeah.
Safe and law-abiding. Okay, that's all right.
Biggest cop out answer. Yeah,
pretty safe. No, but I used to.
It's an honest answer. So yeah,
I'm definitely like was a bit of a klepto when it came to like groceries. So I'm just more like I just used to steal a lot from Woolworths.
They're okay though. Yeah.
Which is that's like awesome. Fine because they're a big, like, big, shitty corporation. Like, fuck them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for real.
Definitely.
As long as you're not robbing mom
nothing
and pop
too,
stores.
Nothing like... too crazy.
Yeah.
I just, Throw a lot of salmon. And, you
know, nice cheese.
Yeah, nice cheese. Nice moisturizer.
Oh, wait, you have a tattoo. Nah, I'm not doing that. You have to now. Okay, fine. Well, it's related.
For the pod, one time only, exclusive.
Yeah, I got this. Oh, it's hard to see.
Oh, it's hard to see. It's glary. So here's the really expensive cheese, and it's inside the Coles lettuce.
What?
So you put it inside the Coles lettuce, you pay $1, but really you get like a $16 cheese.
Was that the method?
It's a method.
What did you tell the artist when you went to get that? Just like, did he laugh? He or she, whoever did the tat? Like, were they like, oh, okay, this might be the stupidest shit I put on somebody?
Yeah, it went down exactly how you thought it would go down, but I don't care. All my tattoos are dumb as fuck, so
yeah,
I could never get a serious tattoo, so it's all good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh shit. All right, assuming none of you guys are pacifists, if you could punch anybody in the face one time as hard as you can with no repercussions, who are you decking and why?
I've got one that I want a repercussion. Okay. And this is for us as
that's the first time.
Commonwealth states in Canada and Australia. I'm going to punch the king so hard that we both become republics.
Yeah, fair enough.
First one with wanting repercussions. All right.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably anyone in the fucking Likud party right now, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, they can all go fuck themselves. Punch. Otherwise, Jordan Ngoi, I suppose.
An AFL player.
Oh, okay. Jock-related punch, I guess. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Jock shit, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely don't watch football. So wait, football like soccer or football like American football? Hold on. I watch neither. I'm just curious.
Australian
football. Australian football.
Whole different thing.
AFL.
What do you mean whole different thing? It's not soccer and it's not like the
no, it's like gridiron. Like
so I suppose
Irish
like
football.
You've got American football, Aussie yeah. rules football is its own thing entirely. It's like only big in Australia, but it's like the biggest sport in Australia. It's fucking huge.
Yeah. You should watch it. It's like ADHD sport. It's like fast as.
Mm.
What the fuck is it? It's not soccer, and it's not like American football with the old pigskin fucking stupid football thing.
The stupid football is similar, but it's not pointy. It has rounded ends, but it's still like an oval-shaped ball. And
what the
yeah,
fuck?
You sort of
Are
punt
you guys
it.
Fucking with me?
You punt, you punt you it like you kind me? Of would in NFL.
No, we're being serious.
Now, dude, Google. Just Google AFL.
It's quite funny.
After this body. It's hard to explain until you've seen it.
Yeah.
But it's its own thing. It's fucking huge over here. So, like, the big Victorian teams would get, like, 100,000 people to a game.
Yeah.
The you know. Fuck? Okay. Learn like something
it's,
new.
It's huge over here.
And so we there's fucking a third love it. Football. There is a third football. That is fucked up.
Yes, there's one American. Who plays?
Oh yeah, there's a player
there's
called
one American in the league.
There's a player called Mason Cox.
Big Texan boy.
He's from Texas.
Does everyone hate him
really
because he's not Australian?
He's polarizing.
He's polarizing, but he's actually a bit of a champ. I kind of like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's quite cumbersome when he plays because he definitely hasn't grown up playing the code. I think he was a basketball player. But yeah, and he was drafted anyway, but now he wears goggles, so he just looks fucking ridiculous. It's like it's like 7 foot tall, wears goggles, it's fucked.
He's got that big Texan energy, but he actually seems like a pretty like nice, intelligent, good politics.
Yeah.
He seems like a pretty decent guy.
Yeah. He's pretty sweet.
He's like a good lad, eh?
Hey, good lad.
Seat of approval, Gil.
That's fucking wild. Okay, so there is a third type of football. Y'all doing some weird shit in the future. That's fucked up. Oh, man. All right. Weird. Did everyone get their punch in? Did I get all three of you? I think I missed
one. Darcy avoided the question. Classic pacifist.
So I'll avoid the question and I'll avoid the punch. That's fine.
That's fine. That's fine. Hey, some people do that.
Yeah. I'll run away rather than.
not a big fighting man. That's all right. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
This question is absolutely mandatory, though. What music do you guys listen to that could be considered a guilty pleasure, either to yourself or others? If you don't know what your guilty pleasure music is, your bandmates probably do. Trust me.
Shit.
I had a good answer for this, but before I knew who they were, I listened to Prefab Sprout. There's two songs. I don't know if you know who they are, but they're like a pop band from the UK in the 80s and 90s. But
sounds bad.
Yeah. There were these two songs that sounded so quintessentially 80s, and I almost felt ashamed at how dorky they sounded, but I couldn't stop listening to them. And then I dug deeper and I realized they're really incredible songwriters, and there's a really crazy history with the band, and I actually like fully bought into the band completely. So Prefab Sprout started as my guilty pleasure, but now I sort of realize they're actually amazing and I'm not ashamed to listen to them. It's sort of the music you would imagine like one of your parents listening to and cringing at, but like
it's like very cheese. It can not be, a bad way. Like it's
the aesthetic is cheesy, but like the songs are incredible. So that that's my answer. Yeah.
That's a good answer.
I didn't realize until very recently there was a genre tag for it. But yacht rock. Like Doobie Brothers and shit.
No, I know what it is. I just didn't expect it.
It's just like very inoffensive music from the 70s and 80s.
I got really obsessed with that Destroyer album Kaput. That's like a modern day take on like 70s yacht rock and soft rock.
Yeah.
And it is out of control good.
That's one of my
fucking incredible.
Vancouver. He's Vancouver.
He's Canadian, yeah.
Don't put that on me. Don't put that on me.
That's fucking sick.
Don't put that on me. He's Canadian. Don't do that.
What are you guys?
We don't want him. We're good.
I mean, this isn't even a guilty pleasure because it's just fucking good, but I've just been listening to Yellow Magic Orchestra lately.
Oh, they're incredible. Yeah.
But that's not really guilty because they are actually genuinely, I mean, it's a bit cheesy, but it's good.
I haven't heard them.
I guess it's similar to my answer where like the aesthetic, if you're like not used to that kind of music, it could sound strange or weird, but like, I guess the more you get into that kind of thing, you realize how incredible they are for their time and so progressive and daring with the choices.
I don't think I have anything that
like current
stuff. I mean, I have this weird thing where I don't even listen. I mean, I grew up with this shit and I don't really listen to their albums anymore, but I have this weird thing of always watching, like my whole Facebook and Instagram feed is like Blink-182 reunion tour videos. And I just, as soon as they pop up, I just can't help but watch them constantly. Like, every second Instagram is just a you might like this Blink-182 video from fucking, and I just can't, I've watched more. Can't help it.
Weird you said that. I've been on a big kick like that too. There's a Instagram page called Blink-182 Italia, I presume.
Oh, I get that one.
Yes, we get that one, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I thought it was like, it was all going to be in Italian or something. It's not. It's all perfect English. I don't know what the fuck. It's just Blink from like when they were like early 90s to Blink now. And it's just nonstop videos. And I see them every fucking day. I'm like, this rules. Yeah. I'm obsessed with it.
Same deal, dude. Like sometimes I'm thinking to myself, like, I kind of love it. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, is this band good? I don't even know anymore. Like, I think they're quite terrible, but I can't help but enjoy it. Like, yeah.
They're the best. They're the best shitty pop punk band to ever do it.
Yeah, of course they are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Well, everything was good up until self-titled. I thought that album was when they started to fall off, personally.
Yeah, it was weird.
Some good track. I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was into it.
A bit darker.
At the time, I was into it. Yeah.
For some reason, I could never gel with them. I was just a NoFX boy. I felt like it was a choice you had to make, like in my brain, either Blink-182 or NoFX. So I just became like the biggest NoFX kid. And that was like my whole identity for a year or two. Just listening to every single album of theirs.
Yeah, I literally did that too.
Your Bad Religion hoodie. You rock every now and then.
Yeah, I have a Bad Religion hoodie that I've owned since I was 15 and I still wear it sometimes.
That's amazing. They haven't put out a single bad album. Still, like they're still good. It's crazy.
No. It's
they're remarkably consistent.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Flawless body work. What a band.
Yeah.
What a band. So a little bit more of a thinker, a little less stupid. If you guys could give the world a gift, doesn't have to be a material possession, what gift would you bestow upon this crazy planet?
Ooh. I mean, does it have to be a physical thing?
Doesn't have to be physical or materialistic.
I mean, that's really hard to answer.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad no one's ever asked me because I wouldn't know what to say.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Maybe you should give a serious answer to a more serious question. The gift of the value of acceptance.
That's what I was going to say.
No yes. way.
Like if people, yes. people can learn to cooperate and respect each other and act in a decent way. Yeah. Such a... No joke, though. Like, yeah, if I mean, there's so much. It goes without saying, like, we don't need to say it as Gil, but like, yeah, it feels so difficult in so many ways. So if there could be any way that is alleviated, I mean, that would be the gift. Surely it has to be. If it's not something like everybody gets an Xbox, like if it's not a physical thing, then like, yeah, it yeah. needs to be something like that for sure.
I'm a PlayStation guy myself, yeah. but yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I would sell that Xbox real quick.
More of a Wii head. Yeah. I'm a Nintendo
still,
kind of
I still
guy.
Have my, I still have my Wii as well, actually. It's yeah. modded, so I got like all the GameCube games on it. It's like,
oh, yeah, that's parties. The best. Homebrew channel. Yeah.
Yeah. Buddy left.
I love that
doesn't
I
have any gifts.
No. No gifts.
Yeah, I fucked love that I figured out.
Snaked Darcy on a nice answer.
No. I mean, it felt it's hard to say things like that sometimes and seem like you're being serious. Like,
yeah, especially after answering genuine. A bunch of stupid questions, right?
I know. You need a thick layer of irony to protect from everything. So,
yes. All right. So we got shows booked for the near future coming up. You guys want to do a little promo for yourselves? You got something for the album? You got like a run lined up or anything? Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to.
Yeah. So August 3rd, we're playing an all ages show in Frankston, which is a suburb quite far into Melbourne South. And yeah, the way Melbourne's seen is there aren't many opportunities to play all ages. So it'd be cool to actually play to that kind of crowd for once. That's with Deployed, which is like a kind of bigger band within Australia's scene. That show is going to be weird because like I'm a high school teacher and the school that I work at is quite close to there. And so
and the students know who you are.
Yeah, the students have like, I tried to keep the band secret for ages, but they just like fully worked out the band, like what we are. They all follow us on Insta and everything. And so the problem with this show is like, I know a bunch of them will come, but the headliner is this band called Scrotal Vice.
Scrotal Vice?
Yeah, so it's like a ball sack thing.
Yeah, okay. Presumably they play death metal, that's why they have the stupidest fucking name ever.
They're a really cool band. They have
do they play death metal? Is that why they have such a stupid fucking name?
It's grind. I'm pretty sure it's grind, but like in their past flyers, like they're pretty gnarly. It's like a giant fucking ball sack with just like crazy shit going down. So I was and just like I know my students are coming to it, so yeah, anyway, that sucks. We'll see what happens.
And then the following week we're
sorry I need a second there. I'm just picturing your embarrassment and how shitty that's going to be for you. That's awesome, dude.
If they're parents, it's gonna be fucked up.
I'm so happy for you.
If I get a complaint, funny. Come London.
It's a lot to take in. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
They're really artistic ball sacks, though.
Yeah.
It's like they're it's really detailed, yeah. interesting, detailed. Artistic, well-drawn ball sacks.
Is there hair? I got to ask. Is there hair?
In some.
Out of it.
Nice. Some. Do they have multiple different sacks on
there's,
display?
There's a few iterations. I think they use like Get different artists for different posters.
Seriously.
No, it's a whole...
Fully exploring the theme.
I mean, to be fair, I've never even listened to them.
Oh.
We got some.
They're cool. Yeah. So
that's good. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And then album launch.
Yeah. So the week after that, we're launching our album. That's like our album launch, actual album launch show. And that is at the Tote, which is at, it's a, I guess, like an institution for Melbourne music. It's been around for so many years, and it's sort of synonymous with like any kind of DIY or heavy music or any kind of fringe interesting music that people are making alone. So we're able to get a date there. And that is with a band called Propane, who are pretty close to. They're really cool. Another band called Craning, who are made up of lots of members from great bands of Brisbane, and they're quite new, and they're coming down to play their first show here to support us, which is incredible because they sound amazing. Kroll are also playing, who we mentioned earlier, so we're getting a redemption for the previous show. This will be our first show since the aforementioned piano show, so that'll be really good. And another artist called
Hopefully
Teeth Dreams.
Hopefully this one goes better.
That one alienates the audience this time.
Teeth Dreams as well. So Teeth Dreams is interesting. She's like a really cool noise artist, exploring like a weird dichotomy between like harshness and ambience. So the show is really mixed, which is cool. I think we wanted
you said
to make
really
it
cool
mixed.
Noise artist, I stopped listening. I was like, no.
I mean, noise artist is a dirty word, maybe. I should just say really cool artist. Because it's not like the noise you're imagining, maybe. But so among those different bands or artists, like the show is quite eclectic. But having said that, I think it'll go really well because I guess we lack an element of each of those in our music. So I guess that's the way I've sort of thought about it. It's like each band has this sort of element that we like to try and incorporate. So I guess the show is like quite rounded in that sense. But so that's August 10th at the Tote. And then the week after, we're playing a festival called Echo Bravo. Maybe do you want to talk to that, Josh? Because we've done a show each.
I mean, Echo Bravo is pretty dope. It's like a friend of mine, last couple of years, have been putting on a festival, probably like less leaning towards heavy music we're playing this year for whatever reason. But kind of like he's way more into like the slow core, kind of 90s indie vibe, and there's like a heap of new bands popping up in Melbourne doing that kind of sound at the moment, like band called Garage Sale. And I don't know if you've heard of Duster, but there's a lot of bands in Australia that are really vibing off that like 90s slowcore kind of like lo-fi indie sound. I know like a lot of really cool bands. So anyway, we're playing that lineup. It's a bit more of like an indie emo lineup, but it's like, there's a lot of really interesting bands. So that'd be dope as well.
Yeah, hopefully we don't ruin the festival.
No, I feel like those scenes are all pretty interconnected over here.
Yeah.
Everyone's sort of like coming from similar places.
And that show is on the 17th of August, so each of those shows are a week apart. So that's like our little run locally. And we're working out, we have some shows planned for Tasmania, which we've never been to before. They'll be taking place in September. So we'll be in Launceston on a Friday, Hobart on the other two nights. That's a little bit, like the dates are locked, but the lineups are still TBC. And then we're planning to go to Brisbane, I think sometime in November, which is, I guess like that'll be our launch shows for Brisbane. So I guess like, each month we have a little run planned in a different place.
We might do Canberra and Sydney, we'll see.
Yeah, and possibly Adelaide or something.
Yeah.
But they're all like a bit TBC as well. To be honest, like the album was a lot of work to get completed, so we weren't really like super proactive in booking, although we were proactive. Like we weren't proactive enough to book an entire tour by ourselves. So
there's
a bit of tenant stuff we've been talking about. But...
yeah. So we definitely will travel at some point soon.
Yeah,
I mean, there's like goals. How far we get with those goals is another question. I mean, Japan.
Well, don't get too ahead of yourself, because that's literally my next question. So I always like to ask near the end. I was gonna say from pianos to ball sacks to historical venues. What's next? What are you guys trying to hit? Is there a goal or a milestone you're trying to accomplish with the band? Like, What are you hoping to do before you call it a day?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. Yeah.
Well, can I talk about the split thing?
Oh, sure. Yeah,
cool. So there's this really, really sick band from Japan called Poetry of Torch. They're quite little known, but they're new. Very much worth checking. We're going to do a split with them. So despite the album coming out today, we'll be back in the studio incredibly soon, like potentially in a month. It's fucking insane. We'll be doing that split. And then, those interstate shows. We've been talking about potentially a Japanese tour with Josh's other band, Keratin, who are really definitely worth checking. They're another Scrams band. So we might do a Japanese tour potentially. And then, I don't know, I don't want to speak too much, but maybe doing some US.
Something in North America at some point, but that's as far as it's gotten with the discussions. So we'll have to see.
Yeah. I feel like with the connects we've made through the labels, and obviously Dave Zegema's got his festival, and there's a few connects that I feel it would be crazy not to take advantage of those opportunities at some point. But financially, it's a work in progress, but I feel like it's one of those things that if we can make it happen, we will make it happen at some point.
Yeah, I think we're all pretty on the same page. It'd be sick to do a week or two in North America or play one of those festivals. That'd be so sick.
For sure.
And then just see that. I guess another album or something. I don't know.
And just fucking write
to it. We actually, we have heaps of raw material for new songs. So I love the writing time in a band. That's writing for a release is so fucking fun for me. So we have heaps and heaps of new stuff. So I'm just keen to blast out this split, do another album, maybe another split. I don't know. Just heaps of stuff.
That's exciting. Yeah, a lot of people I don't think realize, or maybe I'm just saying that, but by the time you get an album out, half the time you're I'm fucking bored of this. Music's all new to us, but the second you put it out, you're I'm over this. We need new shit. We've been sitting on some of the songs you said since 2020, right? So
that's the thing, especially when you actually commit to doing the vinyl label thing, which was fucking great for us. It's the first opportunity we've had to sort of do it properly. But it takes time. You sort of in the studio, and then 10 minutes later, 10 months later, you're sort of just oh, here it is. it's almost a good year turnaround. So it's
totally.
Yeah. It's I mean, we're getting pretty impatient by the end, I think.
Yeah.
The last month or so, it's just come on.
The clock was ticking.
Yeah, totally.
So Consumers is out now on, was it Crematorium Records?
Cremation, Records? No Cremation Funeral, and Tomb Tree. Yeah.
Cremation, No Funeral, Tomb Tree. I was I knew it was wrong when I said it. All right, that's Consumers out on those labels. This has been a fucking blast, gentlemen. Do you got any last shout-outs, plugs, causes, anything you want to talk about? Floor is yours, mic's yours. We'll play a very long 5-minute outro track for everybody.
It's hard to shout out individual bands because I feel like I'm scared of missing people, but we did a little interview on this site called Idiotech, and I shouted out a bunch of bands there. So if you're so interested in finding more Australian bands that we've been sort of talking about, or tapping into something you might not be able to hear, you can find that interview, and there's a nice list of bands at the end. Mm-hmm. But for me, just shout out anyone that cares about us. I feel we probably would be doing something in some capacity no matter what, but having everyone care is amazing to me all the time.
On that note, definitely big shout out to the labels. So Nate from No Funeral, he's been really, really supportive of the album release. Dave, obviously, he's a fucking legend and helped us with Karanak as well. Mark Chapo from Blind Girls, supporting us quite a lot. And then, although he's not on this release, Adsmack from Team Glasses, he's helped us a lot.
Yeah.
He kind of actually got us out to
he was the first person that really noticed us, and I guess without his early support, we probably wouldn't be where we are in terms of like knowing people or having some kind of like he was the first person to really support us and put us out to people beyond our little bubble. So yeah, and we released Coronach and Eastern Rangers, our other two EPs, on Team Glasses.
Yeah, he's a legend. And my final person would be Scott McClatchy from World at a Glance.
Yes.
The legend got me into Scram. So yeah, Scott's the best.
And similar thing, like Scott was probably the first person to ever notice us and add us to shows. So
yeah,
their support's been incredible and just so unwavering over the years.
Legend.
Biggest legend. Yeah.
Yeah.
We love Scott.
Yeah.
Have you got
all of the above? And free fucking Palestine. And thank you to you for having us.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you so much for coming to chat today.
Thank you so much. Yeah.